Welcome back, and we'll be live at the Indiana State Fair tomorrow. We'll talk to the people from Cities United. That's an effort by the National League of Cities to reduce the level of black-on-black violence in American cities. Over a year ago, I had the privilege to talk to a gentleman by the name of Rick Ogston. He's the founder of a set of schools that came out of Arizona called Carpe Diem. And they were one of the first schools chartered not by the mayor's office in Indianapolis, not by Ball State, but by a new entity, the Indiana State Charter School Board, and something the legislature threw up. And Rick Ogston was fairly confident that what he was trying to do at Carpe Diem, which was a combination of come into the classroom and then work online, would work. And I kind of looked at him and I said, yeah, right. And Chris remembers. I was kind of skeptical. It was like, okay, yeah, everybody deserves an opportunity to come in here and show what you do. He rolled his school up in less than 30 days prefab up on North Meridian Street. And now they will be opening tomorrow for new students and then on Thursday for the existing students. And they've got their high school exams back, the end of course completion exams, those controversial exams that got somebody else in trouble. I don't think they're going to get in trouble because they had a 96% pass rate on their ECA exams for their students the first year. Mark Forner is the school leader of Carpe Diem on Meridian Street, and he joins me live. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Amos. Thank you.
So you kind of made what the boss told me over a year ago kind of sort of true?
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe we were able to cash a check that he was writing, mm-hmm. but we had a pretty solid year. We were very proud of our students. And
for people that don't know what Carpe Diem is all about, your grades 6 through
12.
Middle school and high school, and this is a combination of you learn in the classroom and you learn at home?
That's close.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you start to hear bandied around in education circles this idea of blended learning, right. A combination of digital courses and classroom work. Mm-hmm. We refer to our model as a differentiated learning. Mm-hmm. We believe in the importance of great teachers. We're blessed with great teachers. But we also offer fairly rigorous digital courses, mm-hmm. and we deliver our instruction in a highly personalized way. So we're very small, and so we're able to do that and really get to know our kids' strengths and weaknesses.
Now, as I remember it, your enrollment for this past school year, you talk about small. Your official enrollment was 87. Did you end up with more students when you ended in June than when you started last August?
It was about the same number. We lost some kids during the year, and we picked up some kids during the year. Mm-hmm. Right now, our enrollment for the coming year is about 160. Mm-hmm. We've still got some spaces available. We'd be comfortable around 200. But the most we'll ever have in our building is 300 kids.
And mm-hmm. So it's not designed, this is not a big school.
Correct. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. What worked this year? What didn't work? What worked last year, I'm sorry, and what didn't work?
Yeah, that's, I'm certainly a year older, and I'd like to think that I'm a year smarter. I certainly know our kids are a year smarter. A couple things we were blessed with. Number one is we had a strong cohort of some high school kids who transferred in, right. following some of the teachers that we were able to mm-hmm. hire. And they set the culture, a rather strong culture. In our school, our greatest success was this idea that it was cool to be smart. Mm-hmm. Too many schools.
Cool to be smart.
It was cool to be smart. The smart kids in our school are the cool kids. It's not the kid who's the captain of the football team, mm-hmm. or the kids with the latest Jordans or the fanciest car. It was the kids who were academically successful. So in our school, that cohort of high school kids kind of set the tone that it was okay to be academically successful. So that was really successful. The other thing I'd like to point to is it was just my teaching staff just did a fabulous job establishing close relationships with the kids and really leveraging those kids to try to figure out what each individual student needed to be academically successful.
These overall grades at the high school level, you don't have your I-STEP. See, they're calling you. Somebody just enrolled. Now, see, that's given that you're starting school tomorrow, I'll let that slide.
Thanks, buddy.
I'll let the sale slide because you got other things on your mind, and we appreciate the time. Given you that 62% of your students were African American, right. Looking at just on the high school scores, how high does this mean you eliminated at least at the high school for the high school completion the achievement gap that you eliminated that?
Oh, I wouldn't be so bold as to say that, Amos. You know, we had basically 23 students took our ECA exams, mm-hmm. and 22 of those students passed. Mm-hmm. So, and so in the state of Indiana's eyes, we had one student that didn't pass. So mm-hmm. maybe that person or that student may have been quote unquote categorized as a failure. From our perspective, that individual student was one of our greatest successes because mm-hmm. they came into our school. Basically performing at a fifth grade level in mathematics. Mm. Throughout the school year, they had succeeded well enough that we were comfortable with that student actually sitting and taking the Algebra 1 ECA exam.
Because they could have held off.
Correct. That's correct.
And they got two more chances.
Yes. So. And so we're quite confident that they'll pass this school year. But that speaks to, you know, leveraging the personal relationships and this personalized learning approach.
Now, you don't know what your I steps are yet. They've not told you.
Correct.
Which means that the State Department of Education told me a fib because they said that this was the way they were going to start telling parents and school. Mm-hmm. You feel confident that you'll score pretty good?
I'm going to give you my patent response, which I'm cautiously optimistic. How's that sound?
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm a little nervous because you know we had 100% pass rates in the English 10 and the Biology 1 ECA exams, and a 90% pass rate.
And that's a lot for biology because biology
pretty good.
Doesn't set the world on fire here.
No, but I'm concerned about having this conversation with Rick Oxton about trying to perform better. Next year, our kids set a pretty high bar in their first year of operation.
Let me ask you, you're one of these blended schools that has multiple grades, high school and middle school, and that has been in the news because of all this other mess. From where you stand, should Carpe Diem Meridian be evaluated with one grade based upon everything you do, or should the high school kids be separate out? And here's the grade for your high school portion. Here's the grade for your under high school portion. How y'all feel about it?
Can I respond to that with a real world example?
Yeah.
We had one exceptional student who came in as a quote unquote eighth grader. Mm-hmm. So this young person was fairly adept at math, mm-hmm. adept enough that with our personalized learning approach, blended learning approach. They were able to not only complete their eighth grade math courses, but also first and second semester Algebra 1 and first and second semester Algebra 2.
As an eighth grader.
As an eighth grader. So not only did this young person pass the Algebra 1 ECA exam, they also had to sit for the eighth grade I-step. Because in the state of Indiana's eyes, that individual is still considered an eighth grade student.
So when those scores, they're counted in your ECA scores, and then they'll be counted in I-step.
Yeah.
So you're thinking you're all one big happy Carpe Diem family. You'll take one grade, let the chips fall where they may.
That's exactly right.
But you're also saying that there could have been in that whole Crystal House situation a youngster at Crystal House who may have been at a lower grade and was doing real well, and they took the ECA and they passed.
Well,
or maybe they took it and they were one of the ones that didn't pass.
Yeah, so from a philosophical standpoint, mm-hmm. Amos, that's our approach. We try to find kids. The first thing we do when a kid enrolls is we give them what's known as an adaptive assessment to mm-hmm. just try to figure out what instructional level they're at.
Mm-hmm.
So if a child comes in as an eighth grader, they may be only reading at a sixth grade level.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say to the parents, hey, that's fine. You're coming to us. We're going to get your child where they need to be. But it doesn't make any sense to us to stick that child in a higher instructional level when we're fairly confident that they're not going to be successful. So what we tend to do is put that child in an instructional level that's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So we may temporarily stick them in a sixth grade English class and then support them with remediation and extra work until they get up to eighth grade. So that has implications in terms of state testing.
Mm.
So we have some kids come in that we know at the beginning of the school year, if they were to take the I-step in eighth grade, they wouldn't be prepared for it.
One of the things we learned on the program Friday is that in Rick Ogden's home state of Arizona, their system categorizes schools differently. There's traditional schools. You got one set of grading systems. Small schools, they get another set. Charters get another set. And it's almost like, you know, that actually might make some doggone sense.
That's for elected officials,
yeah,
and bureaucrats above my
You just have to. You're worried about the current year. Now, if people want to enroll, yes, and they're hearing this and they're going, "Hey, maybe I want my kid to go somewhere where being smart is cool."
You bet.
How do they sign up?
They can actually call.
Because it's a charter school, no cost you nothing.
Absolutely. The easiest way is to get on www.carpediemmeridian.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, one word. Or you can just telephone our school. And I've been so busy last year, I don't even remember the number of the school, if you can believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to help me out, aren't you?
I'm going to. Wait a minute. Did they put this in my information?
I believe it is.
Here we go. 921-7497. 921-7497. The diplomas, Core 40, Core 40 with honors, Core 40 Tech, and General.
Yes.
You really don't want the general. You really want Core 40.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we had three young gentlemen that graduated last year. They came to us as 12th graders, and so we have 100% graduation rate. We're 3 for 3.
3 for 3.
Yeah, and they all went on to college, and so mm-hmm. and all with Core 40 with academic
diplomas. How do you do a graduation with three? That meant somebody was the valedictorian. Well, somebody was a salutatorian. What was the third?
Amos, I'm telling you, it's personalized learning. It was a very personalized ceremony.
Mm-hmm. That's one way to do it. Again, and now you hear the school leader.
Yes.
And so how do you deal, and you got a new challenge this school year. I mean, you already had the Wendy's across the street. You had the Subway at the corner. Now you got the Subway and the pizza place, Little Caesars. Now you got right up the street from you, Jimmy John's, with 8,000 Jimmy John's cars parked on Meridian Street. And then, what is it, a pancake? How are you going to keep the kids eating lunch in the school when you got all that temptation?
I tell you what, Amos, I am an overpaid crossing guard, basically. When the school bell rings at the end of the day, the first thing I do is station myself right out in front of the school so the kids don't hightail it across Meridian and try to go and get themselves a big Frosty at Wendy's.
Did IMPD ever come and do a radar check? Because it took forever and a day to get your school zone signs. I kept yelling and screaming to get your school. What, it took 3 months for the school zone signs?
Yeah. Crazy.
Is that still an issue? The traffic doesn't recognize there's a school and they're not slowing down?
It's been better. We have a great relationship with our officer, our liaison officer, Officer Rob, and so I'll dial her up just as soon as we get off this broadcast.
And now you've got another charter school opening a block and a half away, this Phelan Academy. Mm-hmm. You're going to give them some. You're going to tell them, hey, you're in my block. You know, back up.
We try not to be territory. We want to be good neighbors with them. And actually, I heard that they're putting in a gymnasium, and so we want to be good neighbors. We want to be able to share basketball space.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. There could be. If you want more information about Carpe Diem Meridian, their high schoolers did well on the end of course completion exams. They don't yet have their I-STEP scores. I can't wait to see them. But it's personalized learning with computers and with real teachers telling you stuff. You can give them a call at 921-7497, 921-7497, or go online to Carpe Diem, that's CARPEDIEM Meridian.com. And new students, they start tomorrow, but Mark Forner says he'll be like IPS. He'll forgive you if he can sign you up soon, not by Labor
Day. Just tell your listeners they have to mention your name, Amos.
And mention the name. Yeah, you get the discount because it's a free
Amos discount.
It's a free public school. Mark Forner, thanks very much for being with us.